Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
You're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It From the Experts. We are not live at the Fishbowl Radio Network. We are streaming and respecting the social distancing rules that we have in place right now in this world. So my name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And we normally are in studio at Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, and at Fishbowl Radio Network. And because of the circumstances, we have to distance ourselves to be safe. Today is April 7th, 2020. And normally I don't start the show by, we don't start the show by saying what day it is. But I thought I would do that today because this will be an archive. This will be a podcast. And I pray that we look back on this day or this time in the future, and we can very gladly say that it was under control and we were able to limit the catastrophic events that are happening right now. So I just wanted to say that as we start the show and welcome you. Welcome to the Reba Show. And so my co-host, Salvador Villalobos, have you joined us, Salvador?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing today?
We're doing great considering that we can't be close to each other at the studio. So we're doing well. So you're calling in. We are on Skype, actually. And so I'm glad you're here with us. I believe we may have another host coming on in a little bit, maybe.
Awesome.
Okay. So let's see their comments. What's that?
No, that's fine.
Okay, all right. So we're with the technology that we have. So we're going to try to make the best of this show. So the topic today is the U.S. Census, the 2020 Census. We want to make sure, listeners, that you are filling those out, especially during this time when we're, you know, homebound. We have that extra time to get online, right, Sal, and do that questionnaire.
Right.
And so I've done mine, Sal. Have you done yours?
I'm actually going to do it on the show just to show people how easy it is because I've seen other people do it.
Oh, you were? You are? Okay.
I am. I'm just having a little difficulty with my camera right now, so bear with
me. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk while you get that done. Right. So by now, listeners, all of you should have received your census questionnaire by mail. And I know I received mine in March. And then a couple of weeks later, I received another reminder. So by now, you probably have two pieces of mail at your house regarding the census. And I'd love to hear from you if you have already completed the census online. I'd love for you to tell us about it. So you can call us, I believe we're on Skype, but I'm sure you can call in. The number is 214-431-5032 and tell us the experience. My experience personally was fairly easy. In my household, it's just my husband and I. When you have children, then you have more detail because it asks information about each child, age, that kind of thing. And Sal will kind of walk us through that in a minute. But it's really, really easy. And it's so, so important because of the fact that so much is dependent on it. For example, well, let's just go back in time. Okay, so the reason that we have to be counted in a census every 10 years is because it's mandated by our Constitution. The United States Constitution, since 1790, 230 years ago, it's been happening every 10 years. And it's so important. The reasons are so many reasons, and we can get into detail about the reasons why in a little bit. But you can do your questionnaire online by phone. There's a phone number on the piece of mail you received, or you can just fill it out and mail it in by U.S. mail. So that's really, you know, this is really, really important. Later on in the show, because I know there's a lot of you listeners that there's so much going on with this coronavirus, with COVID-19. When it comes to you, we're a show about home ownership. So the census, of course, is important because it does affect housing. It does affect home ownership. But at the end of the show, towards the end of the show, we're going to talk and give you more more information, more opinions about your particular situation in this crisis and how your housing is being affected. I am a realtor for over 15 years. Sal is a loan officer for more than 20 years. And so we know what's going on in the market right now, how it's affecting a lot of people. So we're going to talk a little bit about that towards the end of the show, and you can call us with any questions about that, and we'll try to answer you in these uncertain times. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more and see if Sal's ready to kind of guide us through the census questionnaire. So stay with us. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
Can you?
I was sitting at home on my sofa watching my favorite show. PJs, popcorn, and ice cream with no makeup on. My girls dragged me out to a party, I didn't wanna go. I walked in and that's when I saw you, my heart hit the floor. I get weird, I get shy, and you are the reason why. I get weak, wanna die, when you look me in the eye. Is it all in my mind? I can't bear to be denied. Oh, I get goosebumps, I get chills, and I'm all sugar.
you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It From The Experts. And normally we're live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. But today we are streaming on, streaming on Facebook, but we're talking through Skype. So needless to say, with this this crisis that we're in with COVID-19, we're respecting the social distancing, the physical distancing, right, Sal, that we have to do during these times.
The new normal.
And temporary normal.
Right.
And the temporary normal. And so my name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association, REBA. And co-hosting with me today is
Salvador Villalobos.
Salvador Villalobos. Do we have Natalia on with us yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So later on, we're going to be joined by another board member of our organization and with some insight also. Before the break, we were talking about the 2020 census, and we have some free time, definitely have a lot of free time, and we want you to do the right thing, right? Every 10 years, we're asked to fill out the census since 1790, 230 years ago. So that's what we are talking about this morning, afternoon.
Natalia, Leticia, so what is the census? What is it? Why is it so important?
Why is it so important? There's a lot of reasons. Just the federal government wants to take account of every person that is living in the United States. Every person, regardless of your, let's just say it, regardless of your legal status. Because even if your legal status is not a citizen of the United States, right, Sal, you still are part of the community, and you are still going to schools, you still participate. Exactly. Hospitals.
Infrastructure, new roads, new parks.
So that count that they take, that determines how much we get from the government to cover all those things, like you're mentioning.
So what happens if I don't? I don't want to. It's just to be counted. I really don't care if they count me or not. I heard a number that it's like $7,000 to $10,000 that by you not, and it might even be more, but I believe it's between $7,000 to $10,000 per person by you not, that we won't get for our communities if you don't report in the census. It's for no other reason just to provide the services that help your community, your town, your state flourish. For services.
Actually, here in Arlington, I heard from the superintendent himself that for every child that is in the school district, the federal government allots $8,000 just for school.
Oh, wow. Per student.
Just for school. Wow. So you can imagine the millions of dollars that are lost, or even per individual, the thousands of dollars that are lost, because that's only school. The infrastructure, like you said, hospitals,
libraries.
Libraries, city services. There's just a plethora of things that we use on a daily basis that we don't recognize that they're government funded situations.
I know at one time if the kids were younger than two, they weren't supposed to be counted, but now they're saying every single living person has to be counted. So if you have a baby that was born yesterday, sign them up.
Exactly.
You want to provide a we all want the best for our children. We want to provide them the best that we can. This is a great way to provide your children and other children that may not have that ability to compete with other schools, right? That have the resources. This allows them to be on a more level playing field.
Exactly. And the Census Bureau promises and guarantees that the information that they receive on that questionnaire is kept confidential. 100% confidential. So they ask for names, dates of birth, gender, that kind of information. So they know not only the amount of people, but the category. So I'm really proud to say that in Texas, because if you go into the census website, and it's 2020census.gov, and if you want to respond online, you kind of do have to have your letter, because they do ask you for that code on your letter, and that kind of matches up the address, and it confirms the address that you're living at. So when you go to that website, they have a map of the United States and what their response rate has been so far. And I'm proud to say that Texas, I mean, we've got a long ways to go, but but we're up there at about 30-something percent of the state has already responded.
That's an incredible number. That is an incredible number. So, I mean, yes. I was just looking at some of the programs that are impacted either positively because of the responses or negatively. School lunches, if they don't respond. School lunches, plans for highways, supporting your firefighters and families in need. That's just some, right? Some more things here are, of course, schools, right? Head Start programs. Grants to support teachers, special education. If your kids have speech impediments, if they have other challenges that they need to get through, bullying. You know, some of that money goes to prevent bullying in the schools and in other areas. Child abuse, wildfires. I mean, assistance for older people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was going to say residents, but I mean, yeah. I mean, those are who we're helping. You know, so that's incredible.
Exactly. It's so important. So I mean, it's easy. It's easy to do. Were you going to demonstrate or yeah. Is that out of question now?
We can't. Hold on.
Because I mean, we have, I don't know what I did with mine. I did it online and then I filed it away. So the questions on there are pretty similar. You know, I'm going to be honest on here. Go ahead.
One of the questions is, how many people are living or staying in your house? They don't have to necessarily live there as long as you're staying. That also brings to the point where if you have a college student and they're at home right now, it's where do they primarily sleep and stay at? So colleges need these funds as well. So if you have college students or students that are at home right now because of the COVID, they should still report based on the schools they're attending, because the schools are taking those numbers into consideration. And that's funds that they need to continue. Otherwise, schools get even that much more expensive. So staying with you in a house, apartment, or a mobile home as of April 1st, 2020, that's one question. Another question is where there are additional people staying here, where there are additional people staying here on April 1st, 2020.
And April 1st, because April 1st was Census Day. It was the day that everyone from that day on gets counted on that census.
And they don't have to necessarily be there at this point, but if they were staying there on April 1st, that's children, newborn babies, grandparents, grandchildren, foster children, relatives, anybody that's staying in that house, adults, children, cousins, in-laws, I mean, you name it. Anybody staying in your that was staying in your home on April 1st should be counted, even though they're not there at this moment. Another question. Do you mind me going through some of these questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another question is the house or apartment, is it a house, is it an apartment, or a mobile home, right? Is it owned by you or owned by somebody else in the household with the mortgage or a loan? It includes home equity loans. Is it owned by you or someone else in the household free and clear? Is it rented, occupied without a payment? These are things they want to know, right? Why? Because
and it has to do with housing. So if you go into the Census Bureau data and you want to know, you know, as an organization, for example, as the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association, if we want to know how many people in our county are homeowners and how many people are not yet homeowners, we can gather that information. And so that information is not really 10 years old. I was going to say it's 10 years old, but the Census Bureau does do every 2 or 3 years a portion of the community, the community, and sends a questionnaire, and they get some updated information. But the 10-year census data is so important to get that information.
Because it's an indicator for this nation's economy, and it helps the administration create new housing programs, planning, you know, do they need to expand, do they need more housing, you know, in decision making. So that's why they're asking those questions. You know, do we need more homeowners? Do we need more?
It's clout for us to say, look, people, there's not enough housing in this area, and we need more programs that'll help our community be able to have more affordable housing, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Another question is, what is your telephone number? Why do they want my telephone number? Are they going to telemarket me? Are they going to call me? No, they need this number. They'll only contact you if it's for official census business, but they're not going to call you. Just if there's any questions about your form that you didn't complete correctly, that's the only reason they're going to call you, for no other reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure
right.
that you might have left a couple of things out that are pertinent, that, you know, maybe.
And again, it's confidential, and they won't sell that information, and they won't make that information public.
Right. So another question would be, moving right along, what is the person's first sex, male or female? That's all you have to check. This allows the census tract to create statistics about males and females, and which they're using to plan for planning, government funding programs, and you know, this data can also be used to enforce laws, regulations, and policies against discrimination. That's why they want to know that, for no other reason. The person's first age and what person one's date of birth is, as of April 1st, 2020. So the driving date is April 1st of 2020, right? For babies that are less than 1 year, you don't have to write an age in months. You just put zero if they're less than a year on April 1st, 2020. Why are they asking this question? Again, it creates statistics to better understand the size and characteristics of different age groups. Agencies can use this data to plan and fund government programs that support each age group, including children and older adults. So that's fantastic. Another question is person one of Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin? You know, they're going to say, please answer both questions. Why are they asking this? These responses help, again, create statistics about this ethnic group, right? This helps the federal government monitor compliance with anti-discrimination provisions, such as those Voting Rights Acts and other civil rights acts. So it's much more, that's why they want to know. They want to make sure. And it's not lengthy at all. What is the person's first race?
That's a tricky one, Sal. That's the one that stumped me.
Okay. Well, I pretty much answered.
What is the description there?
I have to ask this question pretty much every time I take an application. Again, because we need to know so that we are allocating funds to everybody based on capacity, which is credit, the ability to pay, assets. So those are the reasons that we ask for it. But you can either choose black, white, or African American, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Chinese, Filipino, Asian Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, or other Asian, Native Hawaiian, Samoan, Tomorrow, other Pacific Islander, such as with some other races, right? So,
if you're Hispanic, if you're Latino, you are considered from the white race. So, yeah, you're looking at. I mean, it's that's why I say it was kind of tricky. So you're none of the other that are listed on there if you're Latino. That's why they ask the question first. Are you of Latino? So when you say that you're white, then it has a field where you can put your origin. I won't say what we put, but you can either put Mexican or Colombian or, you know, because it doesn't break it down that much. Okay, so because when you're Latino, there's so many Latin countries. That's why they asked the question before. So what's right. the description?
So you may select more than one box for race or races.
Uh-huh.
You identify yourself, all right? You can
enter
your origin. You can just write that in your space. If you don't know the answer, move on to the next question. But if you do know, it doesn't impact you in any negative way.
No.
Just create statistics, so that they can help identify if there's any, you know, help with the Anti-Discrimination and Civil Rights Acts.
Okay, so Sal, we don't run out of time because we want to talk a little bit about housing at the end of this show. So one more thing on the census. Listeners, it's so important that you do it, and do it now. Do it now. We urge you to do it now. If you don't do it now, what's going to happen? Because we will come out of this pandemic here. We will come out of it. I truly believe that we will. Then you're going to have Census Bureau employees knocking on your door. And they're going to be person to person asking these questions if you don't do it. The Census Bureau will get their data one way or the other. And if you don't do it online, if you don't do it by phone, and if you don't do it by mail, they will come knocking on your door. So we urge you to please do that. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to give you some information. Sal, let's give some information about what the government is saying regarding relief during this crisis, both for mortgages, especially for rentals, that kind of thing. So let's take a quick break and we'll catch you on the other side of the break.
I like the way that sounds. I'm about to do it for you. I like to break it down. This joint has got me open. Ooh, that's my favorite song. I put my thing in motion. I do it all night long. My favorite song, I put my thing in motion.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Usually we're live from Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas. Today we're coming through our Skype. We're respecting our social distancing, our physical distancing. Normally we wouldn't say the date. Sal, my name is Leticia Gallegos with the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. Co-hosting with me is
Salvador Villalobos, 2020.
Salvador Villalobos. And Sal, normally I wouldn't, at the beginning of the program or during the program, I wouldn't say today's date because, right, you know, this is a podcast. This is going to be heard in the future. So we want it to be kind of generic as far as date-wise. But today is April 7th, 2020. Right. And the reason I'm saying the date is because I want to come back. I said this at the beginning of the show. We want to, in the future, we want to come back to this podcast and said, look what was happening on that day.
Right.
And what's happening in this day is that we're in the middle of a pandemic. This entire world is suffering from this COVID-19, this coronavirus. And so today we are in the middle of it, and we're distancing ourselves from others to try to control the spread. So that's why I said today's date. We've been talking about the 2020 census, and we urge you all to please do that. What we want to do now, because we are the Reba Show, homeownership, hear it from the experts, we do want to give you kind of updates of what we've heard as far as the market. And if we have some professionals that are listening that are in the real estate business, or even if you're not in the real estate business and you want to learn more, we'll be having a webinar. Our organization is putting a panel of experts together with more specific information when it regards to our area. So, Sal, you being the expert when it comes to mortgages, tell our listening audience an update. Give us an update. Okay.
Well, I'm going to start with the forbearance because that's something that's been talked about quite a bit, and there's some misunderstanding or misconception of what it is. Most people have heard that you don't have to make your mortgage if you're a homeowner, right? It's a forbearance for a homeowner. Forbearance is more of it's a postponement of payments, not a forgiveness of payments. In the news and in social media platforms, they're saying, oh, you may have anywhere from 3 months to 12 months where you don't have to make a mortgage payment. And you don't have to prove that you've been negatively impacted by the COVID-19. That is true about not having to prove that you've been negatively impacted. But what is not true is that it's forgivable, 100%, 50%, 1%. It is 100% repayable. So what does that mean? You decide to, you're in dire need, you need this opportunity, you need this relief of making these payments month in, month out for the next anywhere from 2 to 3 to up to 12 months. You need to keep in mind that you're going to have to pay it back in one way or the other. It's not, they're just giving you a break from making that payment, just like student loans. They do a forbearance for student loans, meaning they will take part of those payments, halt them, and then put them at the back of the term. So your balance is growing by that payment you're not making. Well, it's something similar with mortgages. So let's say that you have, and I'm going to use this number just for an easy number for my simple mind. let's say that your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month. And you ask for 3 months. And, you know, that's $6,000 that you didn't have to pay over 3 months. But you say, you know what, I still need another 3 months or so. So you call and you ask for another 3 months. So that's 6 months. So you have 6 months, multiply that by two, that's 12 months worth of mortgage payments. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So the time is up. The servicer, meantime, they're the ones actually making the payments because somebody still has that mortgage holding that note. It's not the bank that you took the mortgage with. It's not the lender that you took the loan with. It's an investor that actually bought what's called a mortgage-backed security. It's a security instrument that they bought on, you know, in the bond market. Because loans, when the stocks are doing, when there's not a lot of confidence in the market, they pull out of the stock market and go into the bond market. And they buy these mortgage-backed securities because they're paying a monthly income because everybody's paying the mortgage. So they still need to be made whole. Every month they still need to receive their just dues because they bought this instrument. So the servicer is not getting any money coming in from the mortgage payments, but they still need to pay that servicer. Say from that $2,000, they need to give them $1,200. Well, they're writing a check for $1,200 to that investor. And then they're writing a check for your taxes, writing a check for your insurance because you still have to have insurance on that home. And then they're writing another check for private mortgage insurance if you have private mortgage insurance. These are true costs that have to be paid. So multiply that by thousands and thousands and thousands of people, of homeowners. These servicers are spending, writing checks a month of $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, $40 million to cover these payments that are not being made. Why do I say that? Because there's going to be a lot of us that are able to make our mortgage payments, that do have the ability as form of reserves in the bank to make these payments to weather the storm. We're not really in need of this forbearance. So we should really be prudent and say, well, I was very fortunate to get my mortgage, to get my home through this mortgage. Let me continue making the payments because it's the right thing to do. Otherwise, what happens is, let's say after 6 months, you no longer qualify for that deferment. The servicer is going to say, okay, I already paid 6 months of your mortgage payment. I'm due $12,000. So do you want to write me a check? Not many of us will have $12,000 to pay the servicer back. He said, don't worry, sir or ma'am, Mr. or Mrs. Homeowner. We're going to spread it over 12 months. Oh, fantastic. Well, your payment now is $1,000 more a month than the normal payment. So now let's say you're paying $3,000 a month. You're going to say, well, I can't afford $3,000. What else can we do? Okay, from the goodness of our heart, well, we might extend it 24 months. Oh, that's awesome. That's a big relief. So your payment's going to go up another $500. I still can't absorb that. So what they're going to do is they're going to take that balance, put it at the back. They're going to add it back to your loan. So if you had a $100,000 loan, now you have a $112,000 loan. Maybe your house is only worth $100,000. So now you have a negative equity position. You need to be careful with that. Some of us, that's the only way that we're going to be able to stay in our homes. So this is meant for that person that is unemployed or their hours got completely reduced. They won't be able to go anywhere else at this point. So yes, if that is you, definitely call your servicer, your bank. Say, listen, I need to make arrangements. I cannot make my payments. That's the person that should call. Those of us that can afford it, that can make those payments, think about it. I mean, it's going to come back and affect you in a much harsher way than if you just kept making that mortgage payment. So that's what forbearance is overall. Sorry, I went a little long.
Okay, so let me interject for a little bit and kind of make sure that I understand. So it is catastrophic what has happened to a lot of people.
That's correct.
Here in our community, throughout the United States, it's just a catastrophe that has happened to a lot of people.
Through no fault of our own.
That is correct. That was my next sentence. It was not your fault, listener. It's not your fault. But what I do want to stress is that if you do have the funds, just like you said, Sal, if you do have the funds, and we've all been taught, you know, that, I mean, this is not the first crisis we've been in.
No.
we've been taught to have some kind of emergency fund. And that's what our organization is all about, is teaching financial literacy. So we try to teach the community about the emergencies and the emergencies that come up and how important it is to save money. So if you have savings, you want, and they're offering you a forbearance, and like Sal says, it's not free money. Pay your mortgage, because in the long run, it could lead to a snowball effect. A snowball effect, which later down the line could lead to foreclosures and another other mess that we don't even want to think about right now.
Well, let's just say that FHA states that, and FHA, we're not sure, Fannie and Freddie Mac, the conventional components or agencies, are still out. But FHA states that it will not affect your credit if you do the forbearance. That's fantastic. But it doesn't mean that the lender at any other given time, later down a year, 2 years, 3 years, when you want to refinance or sell your home, that they won't take that incidence of forbearance, because that is technically a derogatory mark against your credit, because you weren't able to make the payment. But we understand why you couldn't. It's not indicative of who you are or how you manage your money. It's just what happened to us right now.
Right, so, but the way but the way you described it, if we keep tagging on, if we keep spreading it out, the monthly rent, the monthly mortgage goes up.
Right.
And then, when you get back to work, you don't afford that. And that.
What we've been seeing, taxes are going up as well, right?
Yeah.
Insurance goes up. Mm-hmm. So now that is multiplied, not just the amount that you owe, but the other thing. So it is important that you realize that, right? That it is meant here to help you. It's not meant for you to take a rest and save that money because, you know, you didn't get yours before and you want to get yours now. You deserve it. No, it's something that we need. It's not a want, it's what we need. So I want to touch base on rent. You know, well, the renters, I'm like, well, I don't own a home. What assistance is there for me?
We have a little bit of time left, so tell us about that.
What is there for me to help me? I've lost my job. I have kids to feed. The money that I'm getting in is enough just to sustain ourselves. But if I can't pay my rent, well, there is a provision within the stimulus package where renters do have an eviction protection, but that's only if it's a multifamily building. Again, only if it's in a multifamily building or a single family home that is that has a federally backed mortgage. All right, if it's an FHA mortgage or a VA mortgage that's supporting that, or financing that home or that multi-family building, that's when you have that protection, right? And that's the tenants cannot be evicted by the landlords. They can't be charged late fees. They can't be charged penalties, and they cannot be charged rent payments, right? But again, I have to stress, only if it is a building, multifamily building, or a single family home that has a federally backed mortgage.
Okay. All right. So if you're renting, listeners, you don't know what kind of mortgage your landlord has on the property. Am I safe to say, Sal, that a lot of investors that invest in single family or in apartment complexes don't have federally backed mortgages?
A lot of tenants that are living in, yeah, the investors are usually cash, you know, other types of financing. But if you are there are buildings, two to three to four units, and there's a lot of five and over multifamily that because FHA is also in that realm of financing. They do finance to larger apartment buildings, so you need to check with your management company, your landlord. I don't know how exactly you can find what kind of
financing they have, probably can't.
You can't, but I mean, they're supposed to tell you if that's the case. Oh, yeah. They can't evict you. They cannot evict you. Right. They cannot charge late fees or anything.
So for our listeners, housing is so important. I mean, that's a priority. And so there's so much need right now. There's so many people displaced with employment and stuff, and there's so much need. So if you have, there's a line that you can call, a number that you can call for specific need or help, and that's 211. If you are in a situation where you are being evicted, because we've already seen business owners lock people out of their businesses on the news. That's been happening. So there are landlords that are locking the doors for small businesses. I heard that recently. So just communicate with your landlord. Wouldn't you say, Sal, that we just need to really communicate with the landlord and see how, because you can work out some kind of plan with your landlord and where you're both mutually responsible.
Right.
All right. So we're running out of time. So anything else, Sal, that you want to say about that? I think it's so much to cover right now. And as we go forward in these weekly, our weekly broadcasts, we'll try to have a segment where we do kind of update you on what's going on.
Right. Because it is changing. It is changing.
It is changing.
There's a lot of great opportunities to not feel like we're drowning. I mean, and I know that there are some, and I'll get more information, and maybe I can pass that on so you can post it. But if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling a lot of mental anguish, there are agencies that are able to help you. You don't have to necessarily leave your home. You can do it over the phone. So I'll try to get that information so that we can, because I mean, I believe I have a strong family unit, but I mean, there's times I can't sleep. There's a lot of things that run through your mind and you just feel like you need help breathing. And, there's no shame in it. And there's only, help. And that's part of the census tract where some of this money goes to, right? So it all comes around.
Exactly. Absolutely. So listeners, please fill out your census form online, by phone, or by mail. But get that in. Let's get the percentage of every state going up high, because we have listeners from all over the country. So we want to be able to encourage you to please do that so you can be counted. So we've run out of time. We thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Sal, for being on the show. Again, we are the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And what we do, we're a nonprofit 501c3, and we are here to inform and to serve you as listeners. Please come back. We're on every Tuesday at 2 o'clock at fbrn.us. And learn from us and ask us questions. If you have a question, you can email us at rebashow@rebaconnect.org. So that's rebashow@rebaconnect.org, and we'll be happy to help any way we can. So again, we thank you for listening, and we are signing off today. Thank you.
Thank you
again for listening. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
takes your time.